We're going to continue our walk through the Gospel of Luke, examining the evidence Dr. Luke put together for us. Got my byline, Jesus' life story. Today is March 18th of 2018, titled the message, Jesus Warns About Worry. Took it out of Luke 22 through 34. So, what do you know about worry? Are you familiar with that? What about if I called it stress? What do you know about stress? Anything? How about anxiety? What do you know about anxiety? Just a little fiddling around. That's more what the world refers to this day than worry or stress is anxiety and anxiety disorders. Well, I have an anxiety disorder, apparently, because I spelled it with a Z instead of an X. And when I asked Google how to spell it right, I was completely surprised that there were over 100 spells and incantations for anxiety. That's when I quit looking. I mean, there's so many to a page, and I thought, good heavens, how many pages? And I counted down, and I thought, there's over 100 of these. And there's a common belief that vanilla helps with anxiety. Who knew? Right? Who knew? I didn't know. Google knows. Now, obviously, the other team is on the ball when it comes to anxiety problems. Obviously, looking at Google, there's very few Christian ideas on there, or posters, or solutions, but there's hundreds of incantations and spells and different places that you can go to deal with anxiety. None of them have the good news of Jesus Christ integrated into them. But the bad guys know. And I think it's like any sin that they make it feel better for a little bit, but they just get you hooked on something so you end up worse than where you started. So I heard a country western song the other day where Kix Bruce and Ronnie Dunn were singing, and one of the lines was, I'm paying a lot more attention to the letters in red. And so when we look at the message that I made, most of it is what Jesus said. All the stuff that's in red is actually what he said. And I thought about it, you know, the people that were there, he only went through this one time. And he didn't do any color commentary. He just did it and done and moved on, right? We get a chance to do it different than what they do. And, you know, I was in my car and I discovered there's a Garth channel on Sirius Radio. Who knew? And the first thing that I heard was Garth Brooks commenting on a phone call from a lady, and he took his three daughters and used them as an illustration to try to explain to this lady the Trinity. And I thought, who knew Garth could do that? You know, I know he wrote some really good songs. He maybe had really good writers on his radio program too, but what he had to say about the three persons of God being as different as the three persons as his daughter, but all of them being his daughters, was like brilliant. Well, obviously, I listened to the radio station for a little while longer, and that's how I heard that song. Now, my outline ended up, there is an outline. Don't worry about your life. Consider how good God is and seek God's kingdom first. This is what Jesus told us in Luke 12, 22 through 34, and I picked the NIV for this one. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, and they don't have storerooms or barns, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life. Since you can't do that very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, Solomon in all his splendor was never dressed like one of these. This is how God clothes the grass of the field that's here today and then tomorrow thrown in the fire. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thief will come near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, what do we worry about? What do you worry about? How would you fill in that blank? What is it that you worry about, you stress about, you have anxiety over? Your health? That? Watching TV, there's a lot of people stressed over gun violence, right? That scare you? Go to the south side of Chicago tonight. It's afternoon, right? Finances. That would make you worry, stress, anxious. Family. Worry about them? Husband, wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. People do. Some of us are scared for the next generation. How about failing? Do you worry about that? Worry about trying something for fear you'll fail at it? Told the Lord several times, I can't do that very well. No one else is going to do it, sir, so I guess I'll just do it poorly. Right? Death. You worry about that? Anxious? Stressed about that? I don't know how many of you know this, but my personal experience in being in the Army, most soldiers are more worried, anxious, stressed about killing another human being than they are dying themselves. That's what stresses the soldier boys out. Can't really do much about dying, right? But if you hesitate pulling the trigger and eliminating the enemy, but consciously you're realizing that that's somebody's dad, somebody's brother. I mean, that's a real live human being. And chances are they don't want to be in that service any more than you do. You know, they don't want to be doing this any more than you do. Most people think, oh, soldiers are afraid of dying. Not the ones I knew, or me. It's killing them. That's what worried you, stressed you, made you anxious. Now, hell? Some people better worry about hell. It's real, man. It's a real nasty place. And if you don't come to know this Jesus that I'm going to talk about in a personal, intimate way, in a practical, experiential way, day to day, it's a real place. You don't want to be there. Now, are Americans worriers? Do we as a culture tend to be worriers? Have you ever been to parts of the world where they worry less, Mom? Be happy. Maybe we should just go on spring break. Let's all pack up and let's go to the islands for spring break. What do you think? Don't worry. We don't do that today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow. Don't worry. Just be happy. Try to take that to the stock market, right? We Americans are crazy worriers. crazy, crazy. But when you're in that environment all the time, you don't realize that there's anything different. And we get all distracted and stressed out on the wrong stuff. So, last week Jesus talked about greed and about our wanting of things. I shared with two missionaries from Papua New Guinea that, and they said, oh, greed, yeah, greed's a big problem in America. Papua New Guinea, jealousy. Greed's not a problem. Jealousy is the big gig in Papua New Guinea. Who knew? Wanting. So, have you ever worried about something without wanting? Think about that for a minute. Isn't the core of worry wanting? When you're worried about something, there's something you want or some way you want it to be or some way you don't want it to be, right? And that's what stresses you, is you want something that isn't here yet or isn't the way you... And I'm thinking that what Jesus is doing here, when he did this all at one time, is the wanting gig is tied to the worry thing. If you don't want for anything, but you live in the loving hands of the Father, trusting, just like in the song we sang, he'll take care of you just like the sparrows, you're not worried. Not stressed. You have a peace that passes all understanding. It freaks people out. Freaks people out if you live like that. So, what's one do? Don't worry about your life. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. Don't worry about your life. Well, then I read the first line in my study Bible. This is what Jesus is commanding. Like a drill sergeant. Commanding you to do. Not, think about this. Why don't you not worry about that? But don't worry. Stop it. I'm thinking, that'd change things a little bit, wouldn't it? Now, A on your outline, don't worry about your life. There's an easy one to spell, life. Don't worry about your life. So what does that mean to you? When you don't worry about your life, do you do a big picture mode of my life? What is going to be the value of my life? I'm worried that my life won't have any meaning or any value or any substance. What will be left when I'm gone, right? Do you worry about it in that big way? Or you just worry about getting home without being killed by some idiot on the road? You know, what, when he says don't worry about your life, what do you think? Is this some of the things on that list? Your healthy life? I had a doctor examining my hip because it said it hurt back there, and she was feeling around and she found my tumor that's back there. She goes, oh my. I said, oh, do you find something about the size of a golf ball on my hip? Yes, I'm going to get my boss. Her boss comes in, starts feeling around my underwear. Oh, you found my tumor. Yeah, it's about the size of a golf ball? Yeah. That's not what's hurting. I'm used to that pain. Every step I take, that hurts, right? But that's just normal pain. There's a different pain back there. That hurts when you take, oh yeah, every step you can feel right where it is. Feel under my left shoulder. Oh my. The girl says, oh. Oh yeah, you had to try to stick my hand up over my head and keep your eyes open. That hurts all the time. It's health, that's just normal stuff. You don't worry about the normal pains, right? It's the odd new pains that worry you. Is that you? What is it? You worry about your marriage, children? What? Now, B on your outline, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That one's easier to spell, only three letters. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. how big of a deal is diet in our culture? Just for fun, I Googled. How much would you bet the U.S. invests in diet this year? And I had to write it down because it said north of $60 billion a year. And if they would have just said $60 billion, I probably wouldn't have put it in there. But on the north side of $60 billion in diet this year, do we spend a lot of time with that? I mean, I bought a new book this year. It's called The Cruise Control Diet. And I've been reading it, playing with it. And I think these guys got some good ideas. Obviously, you know, I haven't lost any weight on it, but I think it's a healthier way to eat like that. We were at an Italian restaurant last night in Freeport, and I asked one of the people who had been there before, is this an authentic Italian restaurant? Oh, yeah, yeah. They asked Don, have you ever been to Italy? No. This isn't anything like what when you order scallops and angel hair pasta in Rome. Doesn't taste like this. No. It's altogether different. And they couldn't, they didn't believe me. When you order a pizza pie, it doesn't have any meat on it. Just got cheese, herbs. And they're looking at me and I said, oh, and there's never any pork. Never any pork in there. What about Italian sausage? Couldn't find it anywhere. Looked in a lot of places. They eat different than what we eat. And I was trying to explain to them that the pasta is not even the same. The pasta that we get is melt in your mouth, soft. The pasta you get in Italy, you chew on it, right? It's got fiber. It's got density to it. It's got real grain in it. It's not the soft wheat that Danny... It's old. And it's different. But diet's a big deal, isn't it? What we eat, how we eat. Now, is Jesus saying just eat anything? Don't worry about what you eat. Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell. Make it your everyday occurrence, right? There's nothing wrong with sodas. Oh, Coke and Pepsi. They're not trying to kill you with those sweeteners. No, they don't want just your money. They don't give a rip about your health. Eat that stuff all you want. Don't worry about it. Is that what Jesus is saying? I mean, we went to Big Daddy Weave concert last night, and I asked people, I've never been to one. I asked it before I started, well, is Big Daddy Weave a big boy? Oh, yeah. He's a big fella. He knows about eat. Obviously. Right? He's not ashamed of the fact that he's got to be 3-something. 320. He's not any taller than I am, but there's 2 or 3 of me in there. You know? So eat. Is it Jesus saying just eat anything? I don't think so. I think he's saying to us in his Bible, this is his temple, and he wants us to take care of it, and maybe it would be a really good idea for a diet book to look at the Bible, you know? When I told the missionaries that I had taken up eating like in the Bible, I eat in the morning and I eat in the evening. And I eat like they eat in the Bible. And they say, oh, they don't do that in Papua New Guinea. My wife would never do that. She's got to have lunch. Oh, okay, cool. Well, what's the Bible say about food? Anyway, see on your outline, don't worry about your body and what you will wear. So I give you 2 4-letter words there. Don't worry about your body, and don't worry about what you're going to wear. Now, is there anybody who came to church who didn't think about their body or what they were going to put on it? People get really weirded out when I don't come in clothes. It's not this time of year, but summertime, you know, right? You think about what you're going to wear in your body. I mean, you're going to church, right? We spend a lot of time thinking about that. So how much do you bet the U.S. invests in this year? Google says $12 billion. The normal household, $1,700 per household on clothes. Wow. Wow. We spend a lot of time and money on what we eat and what we wear. And eventually in this message, I'm going to get to the end of it where Jesus talks about where do you spend your money. So when you're in this part of it, you're being honest about how many pairs of shoes you own. I moved a lady once. Couldn't believe one woman could have so many pairs of shoes. She did. Now, it's okay as long as you're buying other people that don't have any shoes, as many shoes as you wear. I don't think Jesus cares. If you have 300 pairs of shoes, just as long as you're buying somebody else 300 pairs of shoes this year, I think he's good. Now, the Message translation of 12:22 reads, "Don't fuss about meal times and what's on the table." How many of you have been around the table with young people recently? Or the clothes in your closet or fashions? Jesus said, there's more to the inner life than food in the stomach. It's true, isn't there? And there's more than the outer appearance and clothes you hang on your body. Outer appearance is not just the clothes you hang on your body. I sit down at Big Daddy Weave and my phone buzzed, so I picked it out, see what happened. It was a lady that had just sent me a message on ChristianMingle.com. So I showed the girls, I said, would you put that picture as your profile picture if you were trying to hook up with somebody? She had a nice clothes, but the facial expression was like, oh my, I didn't know people could look that sad, right? So it's not just the clothes, it's the brightness of your eyes, it's the attentiveness, it's the bounce in your step. It's not just what you put on, it's you that's important in there, not the food, not what comes in, not what goes out. It's you in there. That's what's important. Now, 25, has anyone by fussing before the mirror gotten taller as much as an inch? Fussing can't even do that. Why fuss at all? Verse 30, people don't know God the way... Let me see that. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over things. But you both know God and how he works. Steep yourself. I had to think about that word for a minute. It's like tea. Steep. You know, you put the tea bag in there. If you just dip it a couple times and pull it out, it's weak tea, right? You leave the tea bag in there. It gets stronger and stronger and better, right? Steep yourself in God reality, thinking about who he is. God initiative, you initiate the relationship with him. God provision, how amazing of a provider is he? And you'll find that your everyday human concerns will be met. Verse 29, what I'm talking about here is to get you to relax, not to be preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. Wanting, receiving. Big difference. Stop and slow down worry. How do you do that? Well, one needs to focus on God. Turn their eyes off the situation and turn them on to God. When you're worried, when you're anxious, when you're stressed, what do you need to do? Stop looking at the problem. Look to the solution. The guy's big enough to fix it. You of little faith, little flock, look to him. He can make it right. May not be the way you intend or the way you want, but he'll make it right. So number two on your outline, consider how good God is. How good is God? They asked us that last night at the concert. How good is God? Like really good. you ever wonder if we got the word good from God? God was first. They just added another O. When you look at the original languages, other than this fouled up thing we call American English, they're interrelated. God, good, grace. They're all interrelated in the same texts, in the same contexts. I don't understand language well enough to explain it to you, but it all comes from God. Now, in the NIV Reader's Version of Luke 12:24, think about the ravens. They don't plant and gather crops. They don't even have storerooms at all. But God feeds them. Last week it was the sparrows. Consider the sparrows. This morning it was my cardinal. I went out to feed my rabbit. The cardinal's there like, get out of the way. I want some of that. You know? And he knows what time I'm going to come out and feed the rabbit. So the cardinal is yelling at me. And this week it's the ravens. Sparrows, ravens, cardinals. Verse 12 of 27. Think about it. How about the lilies that grow? They don't make clothes. But here's what I tell you. Not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of those flowers. If that's how God dresses the wild grasses, which is, how much better will he dress you? After all, the grass is only here today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire. They closed Route 40 Friday on my way into town for dinner because of a grass fire. Burning off the old grass, it was beautiful, now it's gone. You of small faith. So, verse 32, you little flock, don't be afraid. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Little flock, I thought, could that be us? I mean, we fit that job description, don't we? I mean, we're not a big flock, we're a little flock. So he could very well be talking to us. A on your outline, think about the wild animals and flowers. Wild. I kind of like that word. Wild animals and flowers. Think about it. Are you ready for the spring flowers? How'd that turn out? Not too bad. Are you ready for the spring flowers to come up after all that snow and cold? Will they? Just as I was typing that, my phone dinged. And, oh, the yellow doesn't show up very well. Sorry. Marcia sent me a picture of her jackals. Crocuses popping out of the wood chips. Little rascals are coming up. They didn't know it was going to frost and snow. B, you are worth much more than the wild animals and flowers. Your worth, your value is much more. That really appears to be true, doesn't it? Doesn't a human life seem to be worth more than the flowers and the wild animals? I mean, I put on my brakes on Hickory Hills Road this morning. A stupid squirrel. I don't know whether he was stiff because of the cold or whether he had found too big of a nut to take back to the family. I don't know, but if I wouldn't have put on the brakes, I would have squished him. But, I mean, it's no big deal to squish a squirrel or hit a raccoon. That young eagle that lives over by me, he's not white yet. If he doesn't stop eating that roadkill so late before the big trucks come by, he's not going to get to be an old eagle. You know? But God takes care of them. The squirrel's got nuts. The eagle's got fresh roadkill. I mean, he takes care of them. Don't you think you have more worth and value than they do? I mean, seriously, don't you? The message tells us in 12:24, look at the ravens. Free, unfettered, not tied to a job description. Oh, did that look good? Carefree, in the care of God. I like that one. And you count far more than they do. Walk in the wild fields. Look at the wildflowers. Don't fuss, but their appearance is, but you have seen color and design quite like it. Anyway, the 10 best dressed women in the country look shabby alongside of them. God gives such attention to the wildfires, which most people, most of them are never even seen. Don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Do what's best for you. What do you read there? Maybe get your eyes and thoughts off the situation and onto God and how faithful and trustworthy he is. If he takes care of these wildflowers that, quite honestly, most people don't even see them, he takes such good care of them, why don't we just put more attention on him and how good and gracious and faithful he is, how trustworthy he is, instead of our situation? Will the spring wildflowers come up this year? Julie's got some in that round thing that I left in my rock garden. I bet they come up pretty soon. One of my favorite times is to walk through the woods in the spring. It's mushroom time. I love seeing the bluebells and the bloody noses and the white rose, the white violets that are out there. I actually like walking through the woods in the spring because there's not big itchy weeds trying to get you and lots of insects trying to bite you. It's quiet and peaceful, and you can see for a long distance just as the things are turning fresh and soft and green in there. It's beautiful. Now, you go in there and a little later, it's itchy, buggy, and everything's out to get you. But in the spring, it's beautiful. And the wildflowers are amazing. Now, people who don't know God and the ways he works fuss over those things, but you both know God and how he works, do you? Do you know God? Do you know how he works? Think about it. Honestly, I know more about how he works, and I know that better than how well I know him. I spent years in Victorious Christian Living trying to figure out how the Christian life works so I could help people through biblical patterns make their lives work better. But didn't spend as much time in the actual process of knowing him personally. It was much easier to figure out how it works than to get to know him. And that's being truthful. What about you? Do you know more about how he works than actually knowing him? Be honest. How well do you know the Father God, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit? How well do you know the three of them? Can you, like Garth Brooks, use three of your children and explain how each of those three persons are the same or different? Or yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, and I went to Kelly's dressed in green with my green beret on and had a little fun. They're not gonna be Irish. But can you take a shamrock like St. Pat did and say, this God, I want you to understand, is three persons, and yet he's one, like the clover you have here. And you have lots of clover. There's lots of God here as well. He used the shamrock to explain the Trinity, and that's why they use it on St. Patrick's Day. What would you use? Do you know all of these guys? Honestly, I know the first two better than the last guy. Seriously. I much better understand the Father and Jesus Christ than I do the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. What? Maybe some of you know my sister, Marilyn. How well do you know her? She's not here for this. You want to bet Kent knows her better than you do? 55 years they've been married? I bet Kent knows her better than you do. Now, do you know the Father God as well as you do Marilyn? Is he as real to you as she is? Is your relationship with him as real as it is with Marilyn? A relationship with God should be as real as a relationship with my sister. What about Jesus Christ? You know him as well as Marilyn? Is he as real to you as she is? Is your relationship with Jesus as real as it is with Marilyn? Is it that real? Here's a good one. How well do you know the God, the Holy Spirit? You know him as well as Marilyn? Is he as real as she is? Is your relationship with the Holy Spirit as real as the relationship with Marilyn? Monday night, Francis Chan was sharing with us, he knows the Holy Spirit as well as each of his children. Whoa. The Holy Spirit in his relationship is as real as the one he has with his kids. Wow. Could you honestly say that's true of you? Is your relationship with the Holy Spirit as real as your relationship with your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren? I couldn't. I don't know the Holy Spirit that well. You? Steep yourself in God reality. That's the key. Simmer on it. God initiative, God's provisions. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. What I'm trying to tell you here is to get you to relax. Not so preoccupied with getting, so you'll respond to God's giving. There's a big gig. It's not wanting. It's not getting, even the Holy Spirit. Getting Jesus. No, that's not the gig. It's the love God is giving. It's not what you get out of it, sir, ma'am. It's not what you get out of this relationship. It's the amazing love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, compassion he's given. That's the gig. It's not what we get. It's what he gives. So, what's that read like to you? It's not trying to get a better relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Wait.
I want a better relationship with the Holy Spirit. You? I do. I honestly do. Well, it's not me trying to get that. It's relax and enjoy what God's giving? Huh. No big out of the blue confession to you that I'm really not very good at personal relationships, is it? I hope you get better. One thing I know, you got to pay attention to them. If you stop paying attention to your wife, somebody else will. If you stop remembering the things that you first were excited about and reminding each other of them, you'll forget. It gets worse. You got to pay attention to it. It's not trying to get, it's give. Now, Jesus said, don't be afraid of missing out. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. So what does one need to do? Jesus told them and us, see, faith. Your faith is so small. That's what you need to work on, is your faith. Is that true of us? Is our faith, our trust, small? Do we have more faith in you and me than we do in God? Most people do. Most people trust themselves more than God. Be honest with yourself and with him. I sat the other morning and noticed that the sun wasn't shining in my office window and in my eyes anymore like it did the other day. Something moved. Something changed its position. Well, what changed? What moved? My office? My house? I learned in school that the earth moved. They told me the sun does not move, but we do. But they also told me all this came all by itself, which is crazy. I'd lived in a house 39 years in May. Every year the sun moved in the same pattern across the front porch, same sunset, same place, every day in the backyard. So if I'm still there in 40 years next year, should I expect it to be different? No, it'll be the same. Could you agree with me that we understand how the seasons work and how they change? Right? We get that? Could you agree with me that we trust that that's going to be that way next year, right? Then why don't we trust the God with things we worry about? And if we look more, well, what God was in control of, would we worry less? If we trust God about that stuff, why can't we trust God with the things we worry about? We trust that the earth's going to stay on its axis. It's not going to fall off, which is really cool to think about if they're right. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you both know God and know how he works. So doesn't it seem logical that if we know both God and how he works, then we would trust in him in the same way we do the seasons? Doesn't that just seem logical? He created them. He's the one who holds them together. So, what do you know about worry? What do you know about stress? What do you know about anxiety? What do you know about God? I put God as a foundation. That's where you build everything, is on a good foundation. I'm a carpenter's kid. I work for a young 30-some-year-old carpenter named Jesus Christ. You build on a good foundation. You get what you know about God right. And everything you build up from there will be different. Anxiety, stress, worry probably won't even happen. So our last point is seek God and his kingdom. Seek that first. Put God's kingdom first, his kingdom, not mine. Then all those other things will be given to you. Matthew writes in 6:33, he puts it this way, seek the kingdom first, his righteousness, then all these things will be given as well. So his blank and blank, not mine. It's his kingdom and his righteousness, not mine. That's what we seek. Little flock, don't be afraid. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell what you own and give it to the poor. Your brake squealing in your head when you read that. Whoa, wait a minute. Sell all my stuff, give it away. Whoa, wait a minute, preacher. Put on the brakes right there. Whoa. Don't go do that with my money. Sell what you own. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that won't wear out. Put riches in heaven where you won't get used up. There no thief can tear, no moth can destroy. Your heart will be where your riches are. Is that the truth? A, put God's kingdom first. God first. If you seek the kingdom first, then these things will be given to you as well, right? That's the way it works. Have you ever heard the phrase, show me the money? Jesus went right to the heart of the matter. I asked Julie in 1986, why are you trying to learn so much about football? It was weird. Just all of a sudden, she'd come walking in the living room with an ice cold Michelob and say, hey, you want to watch a football game with me? Beautiful woman, cold beer, football. Who's going to say no, right? Well, what's up with this? Why do you want to watch football? She quoted that verse to me. Her boy was playing football really competitively, and she didn't understand all that was going on. So she wanted to sit on Sunday afternoon and figure it out. Every yellow flag, every hand signal, she wanted to know it all. Why? Because her treasure, her boy, was out there on the field. Now, what about God? What about his treasure? Think about it. When his boy was down here playing a great game, never missed a play, never dropped the ball, did everything perfect, do you think his dad was paying a lot of attention? That's where his treasure is. Where's his treasure now? It's in us. It's in us, people. We're the treasure. We're the kids of the kingdom. We're the treasure. Live it. Now, I don't know if I can read through my tears. Verse 34, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you most want to be and you'll end up being. So where's your heart? Look at your bank statements from last year. Look at your charitable giving when you're filling out your taxes. Your heart will be where the money went. It's not me standing here telling you to sell it and give it. It's the big guy. It's the right guy. It's the pure guy. It's a perfect guy. He's the one in the red letters, not me. I think you better listen. Put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your heart is. If your heart is in the kingdom, invest. Invest big time. Where's your money go? Little flock, don't be afraid. Your Father will be pleased to give you the kingdom. B, God wants to give you the very kingdom himself. He wants to do that if we're willing to buy in. That's the deal. Buy in. I've heard evangelists say, sell salvation with this sales pitch. It's free. This won't cost you anything. Come to Jesus today. It's free. Won't cost you anything. Is that true? Is that true? Is that what Jesus said? The truth is, the church has changed what Jesus said to fit the way we want it to be. Take up your cross, follow me, die with me. That was his evangelism speech. Doesn't sound free. One thing you lack, sell all the stuff, give it to the poor, follow me. Doesn't sound free. So, was it free for Jesus? What did it cost him? Will it cost us any less? What does the kingdom cost? It has a cost. It costs everything. C, your heart will be where your riches are. Is it time we move our money to where our heart is? Move your money to where your heart is. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is, that's where you most want to be and you'll end up being. Let's pray. Kids are up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the kids. Thank you that there's young ones that run around and scream and yell and go so fast up the aisle. It just makes my head spin. But most of all, I'm thankful that you adopted us, adults, as your children. Your boy paid for it. We need to get serious about pursuing that relationship and not trying to get it better, but just pay attention to you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. Give attention. Talk to you about the old days and the new days and what your word says. Not trying to get anything out of it. Just see what you'll give us. Now the children have something fun to give us, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.